Happy New Year, Meredith.
Happy New Year, April. Welcome to Meltdown Moms.
I am April Pivato.
And I am Meredith Gordon.
And we are produced by the fabulous Mason Booker, who I'm pouring a glass of bubbly for right now.
And Adam Silverstein. And we are here at Meltdown Comics on the fabulous Sunset Strip. So if you're a local Angeleno, come on down and check out comic books for kids and adults alike, or comic book class for the comic book maker in you or your child. It's a really fabulous place, and occasionally you will find us here.
We are here.
That's right.
We are here to talk mom stuff.
Yes.
Parent stuff, Los Angeles stuff.
What's happening with you, April?
Well, it's the new year. It's
yes.
A new me.
Yes. Where can people find you?
People can find me on my blog. Actually, you can find me at aprilpivetaux.com. That is April, P-E-V-E-T-E-A-U-X. com, and you'll find all of my lovely blogging and podcasting and tweeting. There's a lot. I've got a lot going on.
Yes. And most people know this about April, but she is a highly acclaimed and accomplished not only blogger, but book writer.
Author. That's right.
That's right.
Gluten is my bitch.
April's website is, as her slogan says, everything I do all in one place. So you can find everything she does. And hopefully soon you'll be able to find links to podcasts too.
Absolutely. And Meredith, could you please fill us in on where we can find you?
Well, you can find me a lot of places. I write the humor blog badsandy.com. That's badandsandy.com. My name is not Sandy. But for those of you Grease lovers, you will know that she starts sweet at in the beginning of the movie and ends up not so sweet, which my husband would probably say I never started sweet. But
at some point, I'm sure you were.
Maybe when I was a fetus. But dare I say, my blog represents sort of what I think is everybody's thought bubble. So I often write politely written letters to poorly behaved celebrities, or I just rag on my husband.
Yes, and weather pants and a black blouse that comes down off the shoulder.
Right, because I can still wear that after two kids.
Of course you can.
And then you can find me on the mom.me website, the Momtastic website, or all sorts of other places that thankfully pay me to write. Ooh, sorry, Mason.
That's right. What happens.
That's how we roll here at the Meltdown Comics. We're always melting down.
We're always melting down. We're always melting down, especially when we're on the mic.
That's right. Mom's on the mic.
And then this year.
Yeah.
This podcast, we are actually going to kind of take a different route, and we are going to talk about New Year's resolutions and all the things we're going to do better or should we be doing New Year's resolutions, Meredith?
Well, I personally, I have a sort of love-hate relationship with them because I think you're sort of setting yourself up to fail. And
totally.
At the same time, I think it's a really great time of year because it's sort of a demarcation in time to start fresh. And because I'm Jewish, we get two New Years, so we get two times a year to start over and do better, which gives me two times a year to break what I promised I would do.
Double the fun.
But I actually do try to make resolutions, and if nothing else, I think it's a good effort at being better at something or a better person or a better parent. And even though we think we all couldn't be better parents, we can.
Not me. I don't know why you're looking at me when you say that. But no, you're right. You're right. I think I always love the new year. I'm always feeling like it is a fresh start. But I do have issues with resolutions, or maybe I do now. I used to always make them and thought they were a lot of fun. And I actually was looking at the stats of how many people make them, which is 50% of Americans, and then how many people keep them. And within,
how many keep them?
Well, you know, it was interesting. After 6 months, whoever did the study, it was in the New Yorker, and of course now I'm forgetting, they said 40% of the people were still going strong after 6 months, which I thought was a huge number.
Yeah, but I want to know what resolution they made. Because
right.
If it's just like, I'm going to eat less sugar.
I'm going to walk up one flight of stairs every
day. Yeah, poo-poo.
Right.
I'm going to be prettier.
I'm going to be prettier. I do that one every year.
And who are these 50% that didn't make resolutions?
That's what also I was kind of,
my
mind was
blown. Who's the jerk that's like, everything's just fine?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good.
It's good here.
I'm thin, gorgeous, and kind to my kids. Who's that jerk that's sitting home like, nah, I'm not making any. I'm just fine
I'm
right
perfect.
Here.
I'm perfect.
Yes.
Well,
no room for improvement.
Well, I think that's because we are a bit cynical, and I think that's why my resolutions have really gone downhill.
Your resolution to be less cynical?
It wasn't. That would have been a good resolution had I really been thinking about it. But I do remember, I was really remembering two resolutions that I made as an adult that I've still kept. I have two. So I'm just going to brag for a minute because they also were very, very easy. One was to eat more vegetables. To eat vegetables every day. Because,
does ketchup count?
Well, if I like ketchup. You know what? Tomato sauce on pizza? No, because I literally, I grew up in Texas and Oklahoma where it's meat. Meat is your meal. Meat and
meat
carbs.
Meat is your vegetable, meat, really.
Yes, yes. And so after I was living in New York a while, I realized that people weren't really eating the way I ate. And I thought, oh, hey, how about vegetables? And that's a resolution I started, and I've kept ever since.
And your colon thanks you.
My colon is sort of happy. I don't know. I haven't asked it lately. And then one time I decided I wasn't going to drink soda anymore, and believe it or not, I haven't in 15 years now.
Wow, that's good.
I know. I mean, every now and then I'll have one, like, I'll be like, I need a root beer float because I'm feeling crazy. But, like, it's not something I stock in my fridge or keep or anything.
That's good. Yeah. It's a good example for your kiddos.
It's a great example for my kiddos.
Yes.
Look at me. See, I am perfect. I don't need any
That's
more.
That's right. You're part of the 50%.
That's right. But the interesting thing, these resolutions were very, very realistic, especially like, why don't you just eat some freaking vegetables? Like, pretty realistic. And they're saying in the same article, people keep resolutions when they are realistic. Otherwise, if it's unrealistic, what's the point? What are you doing? Some people fail because they're too rosy about the future, which I think is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
So in order to keep a resolution, you have to be a pessimist.
Keep your standards low. I was like, whoa, what if I'm like, I'm going to double my salary this year? Nope. Don't be that rosy.
Well, actually, last year, that was...
No way.
It was not necessarily my resolution. It was my husband's resolution for me.
For you?
And I will be honest with you, I did it.
Wow.
Now, it is easy to do that or easier to do that when you are making very little to begin with.
Right. Like, that's key.
I don't know if Elon Musk could double his salary, although he probably could do it easier than me being a writer with
totally.
No nanny. But I was actually really proud of myself because in general, I think a lot of people make sort of either physical appearance related resolutions like lose 10 pounds. And of course it's like by tomorrow, which, you know,
right,
is stupid.
Right.
And, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And, I think we do a lot of food or soda kind of
yes,
drink
yes.
less, eat
go
more
straight
or something.
For that.
Yeah. And, yeah. It's interesting that people rarely, make a resolution based on behavior.
That's true. Although I have to say, I mean, for me, it's like I keep saying my resolution should be to lose the baby weight. You know, my baby, my youngest baby is almost 7.
Your baby's 47.
I'm going to lose this baby weight someday. But yeah, and I saw something interesting when I was looking through this that, and it's been really fun to peek at other people's resolutions because most of them are health related, but there's this website. It's so crazy. It's called Stick with 2 K's at the end. Stick K.
So STICK.com.
And what you can literally go on there and you can plug in like a consequence for not.
Like you're going to get spanked if you don't eat more vegetables?
Yes.
Or
well, I mean,
some
I guess
might like
that's a whole other topic when we talk about, you know, sex and parenting. But what it's, yeah, it's like if you don't lose 20 pounds or you don't, you know, do something, you've agreed and signed up and put your credit card in, you're going to be giving like money, a certain amount of money to like a cause that you hate or a political party or a president.
So like if I yell at my kids, I give money to Donald Trump.
Yes. Got to stop yelling
that
at
would
your
make
kids.
Me not well that would make me not I mean I don't because I'm a really great mom but that would make me not yell at my kids.
Right. Well, that's the idea of the Stick website. And so I was poking around. I'm like, oh, I wonder what people are doing. And the best thing is on the side they have scrolling of like people like their resolutions. And dude, there's like, don't make racist jokes.
Who's the person that's making so
a
many
resolution?
Racist jokes that they need
a resolution.
Yeah,
I found that fascinating.
Wow.
This one guy, which I actually love, finish 80% of schedule. I'm like, that's realistic.
Finish 80% of schedule. Wow.
I don't even know what that
Way
means.
Way to keep the expectations low, 80%, dude.
80%. You know, not bad.
It's better than none.
It's better than none. I eat less dairy and eggs. But then one person says no TV or movies. I'm like, what is that?
Right. It's an Amish person.
It's an Amish person. So they've already won.
Right.
What are they doing on the internet? Get off the internet. You're not supposed to be doing that right now.
How about no porn, sir? Watch some TV. Watch your Modern Family, but, you know.
Right.
Get
Maybe
off
no...
the, get off the red TV or red
right.
tube.
Whatever they do. What do they do?
I don't know. Don't you think, though, it's interesting to me as we have this conversation, April, I think about how many resolutions people make about what they eat, or like you want to make a resolution, eat more vegetables, and you do it. You don't have more soda, but do we really make the hard resolutions? Like, I don't think there's a parent in the world that couldn't improve. And
except me. Me?
Well,
all right, fine.
But it's interesting
more.
To me that, you know, there are things as parents that are actually really easy to change. They may seem hard, like, you know, don't lose your temper as much with the kids, or, you know, cook healthier food for the kids, or have better boundaries, or give them less TV. Those are actually kind of finite and easy. You just have to do them or not.
I don't know. I mean, if you were with me last night when I was trying to sit with my kids as they were both attempting to do their homework, like, I don't think there's anything easy about any of the things you just said. It was not easy for me to not scream and, you know, send everybody to their room and then open up a bottle of wine. And
but what if you were on Stick K and you had to give money to, like, the Aryan Nation if you yelled at your kids during homework?
Well, maybe I would think twice, but I also might just lie about it. I'll be honest. I would lie.
Well, that's the thing about this website is what are the consequences to the consequences?
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, who's writing in to say, Mom yelled at me, send the money?
Who's writing in to saying, oh, I only did 75% of my schedule instead of 80?
That milkshake was great.
Right. Exactly. That's a good point. So I think it's more, you know, it's about, like, you trust, you have to be honest with yourself. Or stick.com.
Yeah, like, what are they? Are they the resolution police? Are they coming to your house and, like, watching you?
House?
Like, she's having yogurt. My God, she broke her resolution. It's only January 3rd.
Right. They might.
Yeah.
Let's check that out.
Yeah.
Let's check that out.
That's a flaw in the system. Or maybe there's an app that, like, smells when you break your resolution and it's.
They also
shouting.
Might have, like, look at you through your camera on your computer. They don't want to see that.
No.
They don't want to see that.
They don't want to see me from that angle. Nobody really does.
No, I know. It's way too
that
low.
Chin angle
way
is,
too low.
It's rough.
It's really not okay.
No.
And they'll see my son walking around naked all the time, too. So that's not.
I was going to say, you always have to watch what's happening behind you.
I know. Hey. Yeah, that should be a resolution for him. Pants.
Show less junk.
Always show less junk. Please wear pants.
At all times.
6-year-old. Resolution.
Yeah. Talk about your peen less.
Yes. Talk about that peen a little bit less. That's every boy should actually have that. Well, speaking of boys, I thought it would be really fun if we compared our resolutions to our husbands.
Ah.
Because I had a feeling, and I just completely proved myself wrong after I had this theory. Maybe you'll prove me right, that women tend to be like, I'm going to improve myself. I'm going to do this. Where men are like, what do I have to do?
I'm going to improve the rest of the world.
Yeah. It's not very. Yes, exactly. So I was just curious what my husband's resolution would be, and I'm also curious as to how you and your husband sort of make it work, or what you how you do
well
stuff.
And also, do you disclose? Because there's nothing worse than a husband catching you in the act of breaking your resolution. Like, there's nothing I want to be caught doing less than, like, eating a Swedish fish when
he knows
the resolution police, the hall monitor is saying, like, really, you said you weren't gonna have sugar,
right? What are you doing?
Yeah.
You swore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I swore. It's really
so. Did you tell him? And what is your resolution? Does it have to do with Swedish fish, or is that just a really fun example?
This year, I had some professional goals, which was to double my income again. Which now it's getting.
Whoa!
I know. Ka-ching.
I like it.
If you see the photo if you're on the old Bad Sandy blog Instagram and you see us in Cabo, you know things were good.
You're gonna take me to dinner.
Totally. So, I wanted to.
I like it.
And I had other professional sort of resolutions. I guess I call them goals, but resolutions, but was to sort of branch out professionally in a few other areas that I have been longing to. And I don't really know where that time is going to come from. So, of course, then there's the time management resolution. Which
That's
is
a
to.
Lot.
Yeah, I know. But. What I like to do is set myself up to fail so I can spend a lot of the year feeling guilty.
That just makes sense. But then you've got that Jewish New Year.
Yeah, and I also have the Jewish self-hate.
to deal with
I'm
that.
Really
right
in there.
Right,
so
right.
Then I can make a resolution to not hate myself for not making my resolution.
Well, that just makes sense.
And then I also had, you know, there's always like, you know, have sex with the hubs more. But like one can break that easily because they're busy trying to double their salary.
Like, do you want more money
or
do you want a hand job?
More
what
honey
you,
or money? They don't.
Right.
There's
nobody
not time for all of
nobody
them.
Nobody wants a hand job anymore that we're not in high school.
No,
well, I mean, I don't know. Never
they
mind.
They want a blowy or like a.
Right. It's like, that's like, come on.
Yeah.
Right.
They want to reenact, you know, I don't know what they saw. But
I don't know what they saw either.
Something internet-y. And then I'm always, always, always trying to resolve to be more patient with my kids. And over the years, as in my 8 years in my parenting career, I have grown markedly patienter, more patient with my children. Mm-hmm. But there's always those moments when you lose your shizzle. And
yes.
And I am a parent to two very spirited and loud children, so they can, and they're fantastic, but, or so they tell me, but they can push me to the limit sometimes where, and I have actually gotten rid of yelling as a parenting tool. And what I replaced it with is silence, which I found is deafening.
It's the I'm disappointed in you of.
I did use today in the car. I did that because my daughter is very sensitive to being felt like she's people are mad at her. And as a female, I know that. And and so, but I don't want to not get mad at her when required, because I know what it feels like. And I know how much it stings as a lovely young girl. And so I always say to her, do you think I'm mad at you? And she'll shake her head, yes. And then I say, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed in your choice. And let me tell you something.
It works like a charm.
It's magic.
It's magic.
It is magic. And so...
That's good. That's a good one.
But I think patience is always something I'm aiming for.
Right. And I do think it's okay. Like, I've decided if I do yell, it's like I just have to apologize if the yelling wasn't really warranted, or it was like I shouldn't have yelled, but the sentiment is the same. But mommy should not have lost her shit.
Yes. I think it's good to own your poor parenting choices, but I do think I have a personal thing about yelling because I have two sensitive kids, but I think it's really detrimental to kids. And so all of you yellers out there, make a resolution not to yell at your kids and just ignore them like I do.
That sounds very healthy.
Yes. But I do think that, like, as parents, we all have those things that we know we could be doing better, whether it's the you know, I don't know, whether it's patience like mine, or whether it's connecting more. Or I had one a couple years ago that I have really tried to stick to, and I'm not always perfect about it, which is when I'm with my kid, I'm not on my screen.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I can't, you know, as a blogger, there's so much of my work that requires me to check in with my phone, but like, I'm not that important. I don't really need to be checking the old emails every 37 seconds. And I remember being a kid and feeling competition for my mom's attention with the phone that was always ringing. And so I'm sensitive to it. I don't want my kids to feel like when we were kids, if you saw a person with their hands under the table and their head down, they were doing something dirty. And now they're just, you know, checking their Instagram feed.
Oh, the memories that brings back.
So I think that actually for parents, the screen, you know, how much you're on your phone and how – because our kids see us on our phone so much more than we think we do.
Absolutely.
And they – my kids have commented on it, and I'm not even on my phone that much with them. And I never actually speak physically on the phone. I'm always on Bluetooth if I'm on the phone. And I rarely speak on the phone, like in the car, even, because they're annoying. They're like, mommy, mommy, talk to me, talk to me. And I'm like, you were ignoring me 2 seconds ago. And
yeah,
now President Obama's
on the
yeah, like Obama's calling. Thank you. Or like Johnny Depp's calling to tell me I look thin. And now is the time you want my attention.
Exactly. They know.
And of course, there's always the husband that wants your attention when you're on the phone.
Always. No, he can never be on the phone. We can never be on the phone.
No. So never. I'm actually not on the phone that much, but my kids play phone, and they will like pick up something that is the shape of a phone and put it up to their ear. I'm like, you've actually never seen me put a phone up to my ear. You
little jerks.
Well, yeah, they just, I don't know where they get it.
Well, I do think, it's definitely true. And I think I learned that when anytime I have my laptop open, because I'm more of an email or laptop or type of person, my son will come sit right on top of me so I can't get to it.
Oh, when they do that, can I sit on your lap?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, no, you're 100 million pounds.
You are not a
and
toddler
second of all,
anymore.
I'm actually not ignoring you. I'm trying to pay a few bills here by working.
Yeah. Yeah, and my dog does the same thing, which I find that fascinating. The dog and the kids are like have the same reaction of, why don't I just sit on the computer?
Right. Why don't I make a home here on your Apple?
Put my butt in your face.
But yet, when my husband, because he spends a lot of time on his computer, like he can work remotely, but when he's in it, he's in it, and it's intense, and a bomb could be going off, and you're not going to get his attention. My kids don't even try, but with me, they will like run naked through the house, pee on the screen. They will try to tell jokes, like whatever they can to get my attention.
That's why you have so many new laptops all the time.
That's right. That's me. doubling my salary to buy those laptops.
Good job. I'm scared of yours, first of all. Like, that's so many resolutions, and I feel like it's incredibly impressive, and now I feel guilty for all the things I do around my kids. But I need to know also, what is your husband? Does he resolute? Make a resolution,
I think he resolutes, and I think we did not have the conversation about what ours are. So I'm going to hypothetically say his had something to do with money spending less, which that translates to me,
man-like.
To me spending less.
So his resolution once again is for you.
Well, because every December I get the printed Visa bill on my desk, and it will have a note written in a Sharpie that just says, some of this must be fraud. And
happy holidays.
And then there will be the follow-up conversation with the spreadsheet that follows that up. That is, let's go through everything and find out what we can cut. And I will always respond by saying, but we've cut everything. And then will be the conversation about cutting, like, don't go to Starbucks. I'm like, but I don't. Or, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
but
if
then
you
I
just...
do. Well, he would say if you just went to Barney's less, you could have the Starbucks. And I'm like, but it doesn't work.
It doesn't
out.
Work that way.
No,
it doesn't work that way.
But so I would, and we could ask him, but he's not here. I'm going to hedge and say I think he has a financially related resolution. And any others, I would say, are probably private, and he doesn't necessarily need me.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like, you know.
I'm intrigued.
Like, yeah, no, it's not like rob less banks or something. It's just like.
Okay. Right. Fair enough.
You know. But I feel like I can safely say my assumption that he has a financially related resolution is probably accurate and probably systemic, or whatever the right word is, of many, many people, but in particular the males.
And do you find that this is something that's developed more intensely since the children have arrived? Because I feel like this was not a conversation we had when we were dating, and then suddenly there's children involved, and it's this whole other level of get the financial stuff together. Everything's got to be a certain way, where I was like, I don't remember us doing that when you were taking me out.
Right. When you were taking me to Mozza, wooing me. And
trying to impress me.
Yeah.
Right.
I think there's certainly as parents, there's just a ton of stuff we have to buy that we don't have a choice about.
Yes.
And you can decide what level of buying you want to do it at. But like your kid needs a car seat. Your kid needs, I mean, every few months, because my kids can't stop growing, there's the entire new wardrobe. It's not even like you need a pair of pajamas. You need seven. You need like
you need pants to wear.
Well, you
to
need.
Cover up your junk.
Suddenly, you realize you've been shoving your child's foot into a shoe that's a size and a half too small.
They never say anything.
No, this has to be the summer. Margot had like she went from a 10 to 11 and a half, and I'm like, what were you wearing?
Yeah,
like,
were you curling the whole time?
Right. Did you invert your toes? Were you cutting out the backs? What exactly was happening didn't find this uncomfortable? But then suddenly there's the like couple pairs of shoes you need to buy. Mm-hmm. So there's all that kid stuff that you just have to do. And then if your kid is in private school, you have those whomping bills.
School.
And then the annual fund, and then the teacher gift, and then the annual teacher gift, and all that. But those are obviously choices people make. Although some of us who live in LA would venture to say we don't have a choice, but that is
a whole other
debatable
podcast.
Conversation. That's
yes.
right.
Whole other podcast.
We can hash that out another Thursday night.
Yes, we can.
But I think that there's also this, I think as parents, there's a sense of time doesn't stand still. And there's always a constant reflection of where you are in your success category, because your kids are getting older and life is sort of marked by kid events, and you don't really get to sort of be in the same spot like you might have before, and people will notice.
That's an excellent point, because I think it was literally this week when my husband came home and said, do you realize I'm in my peak earning years? And I was like what?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
We need to climb a different peak then.
Yes, different peak. Different,
no, but
different
there's
goals.
Like, you know, if you own a home, or you're trying to buy a home, or you're trying to get a bigger home, and these are all, I think, realistic things that don't make you sort of a brat. Like you, I think some of it is just age when you're a parent. You get to a certain point in your life where you feel like, I kind of want to have the stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to live in a real house. I want a yard. I want...
It's like parenting is so uncomfortable that I would like to at least have some other comforts.
Well, yeah, and you want to feel like a sense of you're working really hard. Right. You're like a ship passing in the night with your spouse. You're in it to win it with your kids, and you kind of want to feel like you can move forward. And I think finances are a way of people feeling like they're moving forward. For right. us also, because... we are aging rapidly in our house that there's also a sense of we're not so young anymore and we're kind of starting looking like, are we saving enough? Are we?
God, I'm so depressed.
Yeah, I know. Didn't my resolution just bum you
your
out?
Your resolution is killing me.
So next year, my resolution is going to be don't bum April out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But I think that parenting really kind of is a constant reflection of where you are. And
yeah, that's a great point.
You can think in math years of how many years till I have to pay for college, how many years till I'm paying for sleepaway camp. Yeah, I know, April. And then you think we are at an age where when we were kids, we thought our parents were real life grownups.
Yes.
And
they probably were too.
They might have been younger.
Oh, they were definitely. Yes, for sure.
You know?
Yeah. We make different choices with our lives.
Yeah, we do. And so I think that it's actually probably really good to have a financial resolution. It's not my sweet spot. I won't lie. I'm a bit of a spender.
Yeah. But still, that's impressive. This is so adult and so impressive that I don't even want to tell you.
Is yours like, do adult drawing coloring books more? Or like, you know.
I wish that was mine. No, I mean, this is like I mentioned earlier, I do feel a little bit like resolutions. I'm not sure because, you know, I am always like it's every time I sit down to do homework, I'm working on stuff with my kids. Like, can I be more patient? Can I be what do they need to make this whole thing easier on
right.
all of us here? So I feel like that's kind of a constant thing I'm doing. The financial stuff, I think, is interesting because my husband and I just happened to start talking about it this week and it just happened to be the new year. Even though it wasn't tied to a resolution, I do think it is a new year. Let's deal with what we haven't been dealing with.
Well,
let's
and taxes
get it together.
Are coming.
Taxes are coming. I think that's like, yeah. So even though it wasn't a resolution, it's totally on our minds. So maybe you won't judge me when I tell you the only thing I decided to make a resolution about this year was I really want a hot tub.
Wait, what?
I want a hot tub.
You said hot tub, right?
Hot tub.
Like
California.
Hot tub time machine?
Yes. I mean, if it's a time machine, well, then, you know, all bets are off.
Wait,
but
you're
I live in California and I want a hot tub.
I like that. I think it probably a therapist might have a lot to say about the deeper accomplishment value for you of what a hot tub means. But
sure.
Tell us more about this.
That's it.
But isn't that more like something you bookmark on Amazon as opposed to a resolution?
Maybe it is.
Like, I won't lie, April. I don't know how I feel about this resolution because I feel like you could improve a lot, and I don't mean that as a slam, but I mean, you know, couldn't we all a hot tub?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I've lived in California for 5 years now, and I've never had a hot tub.
Interesting. Now, so what's the plan? What's the hot tub action plan? And does your husband know about this?
My husband does know about this. And quite frankly, he's like, throws his hands in the air. I was like, all right, lady. But, I mean, I don't think that means I'm getting a hot tub. I just think he means like, you're I can't even deal with you anymore.
Do you want an above ground, like the Doughboy version of a hot tub? Or do you want the... And also, will Kathy Bates be in your hot tub showing her boobies?
I hope so. Okay. I mean, that's why also, if we move to Panga Canyon, maybe I can make it all
well,
happen.
Then you're going to have a mescaline ranch. And
double my income
in
2016.
Yeah, you may have to do a few...
years in the joint.
Well, no, you'll have a lot of joints, but you will have some key parties that you may or may not want to be a part of.
Oh, right. There's that. There's side effects to every resolution.
Well, every hot tub invites new friends that...
I just, you know, yeah, I think it's definitely a goal, maybe more than a resolution. Sure. I don't know if I want what I want exactly, because I also haven't really given it a lot of thought. It's just something that I have in my head that like, wouldn't it be great? I work so hard. So this is the rest of it. Wouldn't it be so great to just be able to get in a hot tub and relax?
Now, do you have a bathtub?
Yes.
Because, I mean, a bathtub does hold hot water.
Oh, you're ruining my dreams.
Sorry.
You're ruining my dreams.
I just wonder how often, not to buzzkill your resolution more than I have already, but I just wonder, does anyone actually use theirs?
Well, I know that my mother-in-law uses hers a lot,
but
she's also retired. So, you know, I don't know, like, what she's stressing about to get into the hot tub.
Now, what do you think, clothed or no clothed in the hot tub?
Well, if I'm there by myself, I don't care what I'm wearing, not clothed. But if it's like daytime hours or in a chance of, you know, the UPS guy coming by, still no clothes.
I also have a hot tub issue where I always feel like the seat is dirty.
That's why you buy a new one. Oh. And you don't invite people over.
So if you got a hot tub tomorrow, you'd be done for the year.
Yeah.
You'd be self-improved for the year.
Yes.
I like it. I think next year I'm going to, like,
take a page from my book.
I'm going to hot tub mine down.
There you go.
I'm working too hard over here.
Yes, you are. Yes. You're making me feel very guilty.
Now, does your husband, who we can refer to as Aaron.
Yes, that's his name.
Does he have resolutions he wants you to talk about in front of 30,000 people?
Can you believe, I mean, I asked him, I was like, by the way, what's your resolution? Because we've only been talking about my hot tub. And he told me, and I asked him, is it okay if I say it? And he's like, yeah, sure. And his is like, this is why, basically, this will explain my husband and I really easily. I was in a hot tub. His is to treat myself and others with more kindness.
Mother of God.
I know, right?
How do you compete with that? And you're like,
compete.
I just want...
I want a hot tub is all I want.
I just want warm water in a city that has a drought.
I know.
That's really all I want.
I know.
Yeah, but yours is easier to achieve.
Way easier.
Now, did your kids do resolutions? Are they too young?
I asked them. My daughter will give you a list of anything. Like, she's a list maker, so she had several. But then I said, just let's boil it down to one. So I did. I asked my daughter, Esme, and at first she was like, I don't have one. I'm like, I remember seeing a list of 20, so, you know, think about it. And then Judah, my son, said, well, I don't know, buy a hot tub or something. So
Do you go into his bed in the middle of the night and whisper, ask Daddy Santa person for a hot tub.
I just whisper hot tub in
Resolve
their ears every night.
Resolve to get
night.
A hot tub. Warm water is nice.
Yeah, I do. But then my daughter was like, oh, you know what? I guess what it is to see my friend Daphne more often, who lives in New York City. So it's like, so more trips to New York is what you're saying.
Right.
And then she
Poor
said,
her.
I know, right? Yeah, good luck for that. And then she said, this is why she's like her father and my son is like me. She said, I guess to see Daphne more and to try my hardest.
Oh, good Lord. And you're like, I just want a hot tub.
I know.
And I don't want to try my hardest. I just want to sit in warm water in a drought.
And then Judah, my son again, who's more like me, said, yeah, to get a hot tub and try my hardest.
You're like, copycat.
Exactly.
Take your own resolution,
exactly.
Kid.
Exactly.
Well, I asked my kids, Balthazar, who's 8, and Marga, who is 5, and they both said, I want to pick up the clothes on my floor more often.
Yes.
Because that is like one of, that's Margot's only chore because she's 5. And she does it without me asking because she's a 5-year-old girl. And my 8-year-old boy, like, you know, couldn't find his shoes when they're on his feet. But they both said, I want to pick up the clothes on my floor more often. And I want to make sure I'm being grateful to mommy.
What are you doing in your house?
No. But they have not done either.
Oh.
These children have broken their resolutions, and I don't think they understand the point of a resolution isn't just something you say to get treats, which they got, and extra TV.
Wow.
And hugs.
Wow.
They worked me.
They did.
These children are picking up their clothes less as an effort to spite me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we showed mommy how adorable and thoughtful we are. We're done for the year.
Right. And now we're in a resolution pissing match because I don't want to pick up their stuff because they resolve not to, and so they just have filthy floors.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know. So I don't think kids should make resolutions they can't keep.
I think you're right.
If I decide I'm going to lose 10 pounds and I don't, I'm the only person that suffers because I'm a big fatty. But like...
Yes. Yes. Okay.
But like, and you know, the moments I cry in my closet saying, Justin, I have nothing to wear. But if my kids don't, I'm the one that suffers.
Yeah. No, that's totally true.
I feel like my kids need stick.
Yeah.
They need that website. Or maybe you know what there should be? An Apple Watch. You know how it can like buzz with a reminder of a calendar?
Yeah.
It should buzz.
Pick up your damn clothes.
You're being a dick.
Yeah. I like that too.
Yeah.
I like that.
That was my kids.
I love it. All right. Well, I think that basically you can also see a big difference in Meredith's house and my house, but... And I'm going to go.
Both are not running smoothly, mind you. Next year we're going to resolve to run smoother.
Still, yours sounds a little bit, better, but... I'm not judging my family and our one.
By the way,
when
you have a hot tub, we'll be over there all the time, even if your kids are, you know, ungrateful or whatever
they
are.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I like it.
Just put your clothes on.
I'll put my clothes on.
Put your damn clothes
Maybe
on.
Maybe I'll put some underpants on. Although you don't put underpants in a hot tub, do you? Never mind.
I don't know what you do. I don't know what happened in Texas, but here in California, we either wear a swimsuit or our birthday suit.
Okay.
That's how we roll.
I'll take a note.
That's a Cali hot tub.
No cowboy boots.
No. Although that'd be, I mean, that'll go in the marriage.
That's a whole
podcast.
Other topic.
That's right.
Right. I know where it's coming. So it is now time for our Meltdown Mom of the Week.
Indeed.
And have you heard of this woman? Well, I'll tell you first and then I'll say, have you heard of this woman?
Right.
And her husband. This week, this month, the very last season of American Idol is starting.
Oh, too bad.
Too bad. I never watched it, but I always felt like I should
for some reason. I never did either. I went to the finals one time when Ruben and Clay were competing, and I was the only person who had no idea who anyone was.
Well, you know.
But it was fun.
It was a nice party.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. So, yeah, no, I think it's an exciting time in America.
For Brian Dunkelman to continually get asked, how did it feel to quit American Idol after the first season?
I don't even know who that is.
So Ryan Seacrest used to have a co-host.
Oh.
And he quit.
Oh, but he is kicking himself.
Well, he probably lost, you know, $100 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like that guy on NYPD Blue. Always.
David Caruso?
Yes. That guy.
Yeah. I don't know where my kids' shoes are, but I do know
I'm glad
the name of
name.
The redheaded actor on.
Yes, who said, I can do better.
Right. Remember Shelley Long when she quit Cheers? That was
a bad mistake, too.
Her resolution. Don't be so stupid.
Don't be Shelley Long.
Yeah.
Or David Caruso.
Yeah.
Or Brian Dinglehopper.
Dunkelman.
Sorry. Yes. I didn't know who he was.
So our Meltdown Mom of the Week.
So yes, our Meltdown Mom of the Week. This is what happened. As everyone knows, the best parts of Idol are the audition tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And one that came out just recently was this married couple with a cute little baby. And they both were trying out for Idol in Atlanta. They both were singers. They both were performers. They go up.
Well, this is a recipe for disaster. I feel like we already know where this is going. And it's not going somewhere good.
You just had a baby. You're both trying to, you know, have your dreams come true.
Right. Meanwhile, you're leaking.
My God. I mean, the fact that this woman was even, out of her house, much less like auditioning on camera in front of J-Lo and the Australian and Harry Connick.
Yes.
you know that guy. So she goes first and she's singing. She has this cute little pink, ukulele. And
she's a ukulele.
Cute little pink ukulele.
I'm not going to say anymore.
Okay. Well, you know, it's cute. And the husband is over with the baby. Like, they've come out and they introduce themselves together. And they're like, oh, they're so cute. They're so sweet. They're very cute.
Weren't auditioning together as a singing team.
But I don't think that's allowed on American Idol, right?
No, I don't know.
That's more like an America's Got Talent or something.
Maybe.
I think. So whenever she's like, I'm going to go first. And she pulls out this cute little ukulele. And the husband and the baby go kind of stand at the side, and she's playing the ukulele and doing this Bruno Mars song that's all very, you know, cute and happy. And she's got a great voice. I mean, I don't know anything, but it seemed like her voice was
lovely.
She
could carry a tune.
She carried a tune. At the end, the judges are like, you know what? The baby was really distracting.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
She had the baby with her?
The husband had the baby at the side.
In the room?
Yes, on the side of the stage.
I feel like that's
they were
a
dancing around. Well, I think the Meltdown Mom of the Week might have felt the same.
Yeah.
And they said no. They're like, it's just sort of surface. You know, it's very cute and very surface. There's a lot of light, but it's very surface. And she's like...
Because a mom with a newborn is always surface.
Yeah. So she's like, oh. So then she has to go stand over and hold the baby and watch her husband
audition.
And try
not to, like, lose her business.
And try not to be, like
weeping,
I know.
Right?
So she's holding the baby very tightly, and you know, like, she's
Couldn't
just
she
kind of
like... Couldn't she step outside with the baby?
I don't know. Maybe her husband is like singing and she feels she has to be there to support. I don't know.
Right. Because there's not normally people in there other than the judges.
Other than judges,
this feels like an American Idol plant setup.
It was a little, So then the husband's like, I'm going to sing. I love Celine Dion and I'm going to sing Celine Dion. Yeah, we can analyze that.
I think there's some questionable gender issues happening with the husband.
For sure. And he belts it out and he is really into it and he's good. He's good. I'm not going to say he wasn't.
Well, because he didn't just birth a human out of his vagina.
He didn't. He didn't. And
he probably had time to practice his song.
He had time to practice. He probably got sleep.
Yeah.
His voice wasn't like croaky from lack of sleep.
Right.
And being up all night.
Right. And nursing, all those things.
So he finishes, and they do flash over to the mom and the baby, and she's holding the baby and looks very kind of intense. And she's probably just intense because she's like, can I get the out of here?
She's probably thinking also, if he gets picked and I don't, I'm gonna lose my junk.
Well, that's what happened. He gets picked, and they even comment, the way your wife was holding the baby and looking at you during that song. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Where else was she supposed
back
to look?
Back it up. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, the baby's a distraction when the mom is singing.
Oh,
but it's
yes.
freaking adorable when...
when she's looking longingly at her man while he sings
Celine Dion.
Ooh.
So this lady, this is why she's the Meltdown Mom of the Week. Because if that had been me, I would have been all the way out the door.
Tell us what you're...
flipping that bird to every J-Lo and co, like, as I walked out the door, losing it. And then, you know, basically divorcing the father, being like, I'm out of here.
Well, I feel like I'm a little disappointed in J-Lo.
I'm very disappointed in J-Lo as a mom.
I mean, that's
gross.
Come on. While your wife looks longingly at you, she was swooning.
I think Harry Connick actually said that, but...
wow.
You know,
Harry.
Whatevs. Whatevs, man.
Harry.
Yeah.
Boo.
J-Lo was saying the... no, I think Harry said... boo. You know, I don't remember. They all look the same to me.
But, like, it was supposed to be a sign of how good he was that she was looking at him.
Yeah. But the little baby was dancing while she was playing on the ukulele, and that's just distracting.
Well, how about the husband not have the freaking baby dance?
Well, later on, backstage, they're there, and the family's there, and they're like, he's going, but she's not, and then they start talking, and she's like, yeah, she said the baby was a distraction, and they said that was a whole, you know, a whole thing, and she's upset towards the husband, and he's like, looks like, what did I do? What did I do?
Well, what you did was just distract your wife out of getting your spot on American Idol.
Meltdown Mom of the Week.
Nice. I like it. What's her name again?
Alex Sasser. Alex.
Good for you. She has self-restraint.
She has self-restraint. You're going to be an amazing mom.
Yeah. Well.
And you might want to look into getting a different husband. I'm just saying.
Or a babysitter next time so that your baby isn't a distraction.
A babysitter. Or maybe audition 20 years from now when there's not so much sexism. I don't know. Any of those things.
Yeah. Boo, American Idol. That's
right?
Gross.
Right. But still, Alex, we are rooting for you. I am Team Alex.
And as a sidebar, I'm going to say,
uh-oh.
Maybe you don't audition for a national singing contest that will win you a recording contract with a ukulele.
I thought it was cute.
Oh, okay.
But I'm very, you know, indie twee. And I hate Celine Dion. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a recipe for disaster to audition, you know, something like that against your spouse.
Yeah, so maybe their New Year's resolution should be separate career paths or at least separate auditions.
Or how about she gets to audition and he can hold
that
baby?
How can he can stay home?
Yeah, thank you.
And let her. Because you know what she did say? She said, I'm always in the background helping you, like, you know, what is it? Achieve your dreams, yeah.
Do you think when they have sex, she calls him Celine?
I hope so. No, I hope not. I hope that for no one, including Celine's husband.
Renee.
That's right.
That was good.
I like it. That was great. So in conclusion, Happy New Year, Meredith.
Happy New Year, April and Mason.
And Mason and Adam. And we are the Meltdown Moms coming to you from Meltdown Comics in West Hollywood, California.
On the Sunset Strip.
And the website is?
Meltdowncomics.com. I knew it was.
And the website is meltcomics.com. Check it out. Check out the store. There's lots of fun stuff for kids here. There's lots of fun stuff for moms. If you want a mom's night out, you can come here and read and laugh and not get hit on at all, I'm pretty sure.
Totally. And also, on the website, you don't have to be an LA local to do this part. If you go onto the meltcomics.com, there's not only our podcasts and info about us, but there are a ton of other awesome podcasts that come through the Meltdown Comics store, like Disney Click and the superheroes.
History of the Batman. I love that woman.
Yeah.
She's
and
great.
And then Meltdown Moms, Moms on the Mic.
That's us.
So I am Meredith Gordon.
I am April Pivoteau.
Thank you to Mason Booker and Adam Silverstein for producing the show, and Meltdown Comics for having us.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.